Do you know what the word Merry and Merry Christmas means? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Wednesday, and if by this point in the week you're feeling overwhelmed by your duties, obligations, chores, tasks, name it, you probably have a whole big pile of them at work, at home, at school. Hey, you got to laugh, folks. What would we do if we couldn't laugh? This world would be uninhabitable if we couldn't laugh. Laughter is the music of the heart. Laughter is pain turned inside out. Laughter is the shock absorber of life's hard knocks. Now you got to laugh. Hey, you know what I do on Wednesday this year? Have you been listening to the program? I'm into my eighth week here. I tell stories. I celebrate Christmas. I share stories about the Christmas songs, the background of Christmas songs. Christmas. I'm going to celebrate it every Wednesday during this year. Christmas isn't a date on the calendar. It's an attitude. It's a way of life. Could you imagine if we all had the Christmas spirit all year round? Peace on earth, goodwill to all people. You know, Christmas is not a fuzzy sentiment. It's a way of life. It's a way of acting. It's a way of talking. It's a way of thinking. Christmas is when we recognize the power of the incarnation, God in our flesh. The miracles, big and little miracles that we can perform. So we're celebrating Christmas on Wednesdays this year. And I'm sharing the stories behind the best love songs of Christmas from a book written by Ace Collins. You know what book I'm going to share with you, or what Christmas song I'm going to share with you today? God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Here we go. Oddly enough, understanding the original meaning behind this song, one of the most misunderstood carols of Christmas, also helps explain one of the most misused words describing Christmas itself. What Americans hear when they listen to God Rest Ye Merry Christmas, Ye Merry Gentlemen, is not anything like what the English peasants meant when they first sang this song more than 500 years ago. Because of how wonderfully it tells the Christmas story, the song earned a prominent spot in Dickens' classic novel, A Christmas Carol. If people today fully understood its unique lyrics, most would probably designate God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen as one of the most profound and meaningful hymns in the world. Like so many early Christmas songs, this carol was written as a direct reaction to the music of the 15th century church. During this period, songs used by organized religion for worship were usually written in Latin and had dark, somber melodies, offering singers and listeners little inspiration of joy. In fact, though few admitted it in public, most church members secretly disliked the accepted religious songs of the day. Yet the laymen of the time had no power over the way they worshipped and had to accept things as they were. So, while they continued to go to worship, commoners created their own church music outside the walls of the cathedrals and chapels. In this way, the peasant class led a quiet rebellion against the tone of current religious music by writing religious folk songs that were light, lively, and penned in common language. These Christmas folk songs became the foundation of what are now known as Christmas carols. God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen was the most famous and most loved of all the early carols, written with an upbeat melody and speaking of the birth of Jesus in joyful terms. The song may have shocked early church leaders, but it charmed their flocks. Not only did they sing to this carol, they danced to it. The lyrics of the song revealed that the unknown writer knew the story of Jesus' birth well. He included the high points of the gospel throughout the carol's verses. The writer also fully understood the power of Christ and what his arrival meant to all who embraced it. In the case of this writer, comprehending the full and personal meaning of the birth of the Son of God brought forth enthusiasm and joy simply not found in any other church songs of the period. Though it might have been rejected by the church leaders, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen better presented the message of the first Christmas and the life of Jesus than did many of the songs used in formal worship of the day. The carol was sung for hundreds of years before it was finally published in the 19th century. By that time, thanks in part to Queen Victoria's love of such songs, it found favor in the Anglican Church. Soon, even the Protestant English clergy of the Victorian era was enthusiastically teaching God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen to their parishioners. Crossing the ocean to both Europe and America, the carol became popular throughout the Christian world. It is still sung in much of the same way, in much the same way as it was 500 years ago. The only problem is that, as a result of the evolution of the English language, few of today's listeners fully understand the beginning of each of the carol's many verses. When people today say Merry Christmas, the word Merry means happy. When God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen was written, Merry had a very different meaning. Robin Hood's merry men might have been happy, but the merry they described then meant great and mighty. Thus, in the Middle Ages, a strong army was a merry army, a great singer was a merry singer, and a mighty ruler was a merry ruler. So, when the English carolers of the Victorian era sang the words merry gentlemen, they meant great or mighty men. Ye means you, but even when translated to God Rest You Mighty Gentlemen, the song still makes very little sense. This is due to one last word that has a much different meaning in today's world, as well as a lost punctuation mark. The word rest in God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen simply means keep or make. And to completely uncover the final key to solving this mystery of meaning, a comma needs to be placed after the word merry. Therefore, in modern English, the first line of God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen should read, God make you mighty, comma, gentlemen. Using this translation, the old carol suddenly makes perfect sense, as does the most common saying of the holidays, Merry Christmas. You might wonder why, when most don't fully understand the real meaning of God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, the old carol has remained popular. The world's love for this song is probably due to its upbeat melody paired with the telling of the most upbeat story the world has ever known. Those who sing it naturally get caught up in celebration of the message, embracing the same emotions that those first to visit the baby Jesus must have felt. As the angels told the shepherds, quote, I bring you good news of great joy, end quote. That joy and the power of faith can be felt and experienced in every note and word of God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. You just have to know how to translate the words into the language of the day in order to have a very mighty Christmas. Here's the words, right? God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. O tidings of comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy. Fear not, then, said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior, of virtue, power, and might, so frequently to vanish all the friends of Satan quite. And then the chorus. The shepherds at those tidings rejoiced much in mind, and left their flocks a-feeding in tempest, storm, and wind, and went to Bethlehem straightway, this blessed babe to find, O tidings of comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy. But when to Bethlehem they came, whereat this infant lay, they found him in a manger, where oxen feed on hay. His mother Mary kneeling, unto the Lord did pray. And then the chorus. Here's the last verse. Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood, each other now embrace. This holy tide of Christmas all others doth deface. O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy. You know, dear listeners, until I read this book, I never understood what the real meaning of the word merry meant. Like you, I thought it meant happy, joyful, but strong and mighty. You know? And what does Isaiah say when it foretells the coming of our Savior? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And what will Jesus do in your life if you become a person who tries to live Christmas every day? You'll become merry in the original meaning of the word. You will become strong. God will give you, well, rest, right? But rest in the original meaning of the word, God will give you shelter and strength and guidance and peace. Isn't that what we want to claim? Especially on Wednesday when we're starting to feel overwhelmed by so many of our duties and obligations and jobs, tasks. Let's have a merry Wednesday, okay? In both senses of the word. Claim the power to get through the rest of the week, through this very day, through this hour, through this half hour, through this minute. And then be joyful. Laugh. Laughter is the best medicine. Okay, today's food for thought comes from Aristotle, great Greek philosopher. The unfortunate need people who will be kind to them. The prosperous need people to be kind to. So whether you're fortunate or unfortunate, may you experience kindness and offer it to others. Who do I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for people who staff women's shelters. Sometimes women have to flee domestic violence, take their children, go to a women's shelter. There they're given counseling, they're given room and board, they're given safety, they're given a chance to have their heart mended, to face their future, to protect their children. Dear God, bless the people who staff women's shelters. Give them the financial resources they need. Give them the safety they need. Give them the wisdom and courage they need. And I ask all these blessings for both those who staff the shelters and for those who are staying there, temporarily or long range. Yes, I ask these bountiful blessings through Christ our Lord. Amen. Small attempt to make you smile or laugh right now. John said to wife, I'm ashamed of the way we live. Mother pays our rent. Aunt Martha buys our clothes. And my sister sends us money for food. I don't like to complain, but I'm sorry we can't do better than that. You should be, replied the husband indignantly. You've got two uncles that don't send us a dime. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you. I just love to hear from my listeners. Send me your prayer intentions. I'll storm heaven with you and for you. Help me keep my hospital open for the poor and sick in Oaxaca, Mexico, named after my mother, Ana C. Toro Hospital. Make the check to TASH, Inc., send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Hey, you do the internet? Visit my website, Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful.